I got it now. Good afternoon, everybody. It is PGA DFS time. Eric nailed it. He knew it was coming. I had to give it to him. And although we had a 1 week break, it felt like we didn't because I played Euro. I don't know if you joined me in the Euro streets, Eric, but maybe we'll skip that here for a little bit. As we bring it back in, it is the Fortnite Championship. No, Fortinet. I'm not thinking
Fortinet.
Fortinet. We just looked this up. Almost like Justin Forsett, Fortinet. Anyways, a new sponsor here of what we used to know as the Safeway Open, the events, the PGA Tour season's first of the year. It's been that way since 2014, believe it or not, Eric. Mm-hmm. As we jump in, and I'm actually really excited because we've got a new sponsor to talk about. My worlds collide here a little bit as Jock Market is a newer platform that combines the stock exchange and sports. I love it. Can't wait to talk about it with Eric this year. Forget waiting until the end of the game to make money as well, because just like the stock market, you can sell your shares anytime. What do I mean by that? Well, every event has an IPO. And in that IPO, you're going to bid on your players. You're going to own shares of your player. Doesn't matter which sport. We can be NFL. It can be MLB. It can be PGA. It can be NBA. Of course, right now, we're going to focus on PGA. And the great part is you can sell your shares at any time throughout the event. So let's say that Doug Gim, we want to buy shares of him this week, Eric. I think we do. We'll see. We'll have to see what Eric thinks of that. Maybe not. Let's say he gets off to a first round lead. You can go ahead and cash in at the market value of those shares, taking a nice little profit. So what I want you to do is when you sign up, use promo code AWESOMO and you're going to get $50 free on your first deposit. So of course, this is an exclusive offer with the AWESOMO community. So make sure you take advantage of it today. A couple of guys we might want to be picking shares up are new beginnings. 39 new faces on the PGA Tour for this week. Now, Eric, I'm not going to lie to you. There are some returning guys, by the name of Adam Svensson, Steven Yeager, a couple of names that maybe you've heard of before that have had a PGA Tour run. But I wanted to go over a couple. First and foremost, let's get Will Zalatoris and Mito Pereira out of the way. Most people know those guys by now. So it really leaves us about 37 names. I've written down a couple of names, but before I go into those, do you know any that you want to bring up?
I mean, there's a couple guys that we can kind of go to. I mean, Mito Pereira, everybody kind of knows him coming out of Chile, and, you know, he played decently well at the Olympics. He almost ended up on the bronze medal stand in that spot. I think he's kind of not a stranger to anybody in the DFS circles, but now, yeah, full-time status. That should be good times. He is going to be a player, I'm pretty sure. And then Taylor Moore is another guy that I had circled as somebody. Again, you're just putting me on the spot here, I guess. I should have maybe looked at the run sheet a little bit more, perhaps.
Hey, I put it all in front of you. I give it to you.
Yeah, no, I accidentally clicked on the NFL strategy show run sheet. So I guess that's on me. Good times. But Taylor Moore is another guy that I personally had circled 16 for 18 in terms of what was it? Making cuts there on the Craft Ferry Tour. Yep. Second, top threes. We've been talking a lot, and I know Ben and I have, and now in the shows we've done, where you'd want to identify these guys on the floor. You want to be playing these guys early and often, because if you can win on the Korn Ferry Tour, if you can put yourself in contention there, you can automatically put yourself in contention on some of these smaller field or not as established field events. A very top heavy event we have this week. And I want to be invested in guys like that. I think he really makes sense. Steven Jagger is another guy. He was the points leader for the Korn Ferry Tour. So he finished fourth, second in the playoffs. Another guy that I'm going to want to be invested in this week. So those are three that I have circled. How about yourself?
Yeah, I've been a fan of Brandon Wu for quite a while.
Obsessed with Brandon Wu.
I love Wu Wu Brandon Wu. Give me some Brandon Wu here this week. 6,400. We are getting a good price on him. But we'll go back a couple of years when Morikawa, Wolf Hovland all broke out. And Justin Su, who I'll actually talk about here in a minute or so, all broke out. Well, Wu was in that graduating class, but decided to stay in school so he could play in the, I believe it's called the Walker Cup, and play pretty well in it. And that kind of set him back, because what happened was he tried to get starts, weren't enough, and then COVID hit. So he had to go through the Korn Ferry Tour, not for a year, but for almost a year and a half. Ended up getting his card pretty easily, is here this week. I think it's a great buy low spot. Went to Cal, obviously familiar with this area up in Napa. So I think it's a good place. Another one, Sahith Theegala, he was a Pepperdine guy. So another Cal guy, Came in 14th here last year, got his card to the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. I think this guy has got a ton of game in a great spot. Now we'll talk about my last two. Justin Su, he's not here on a PGA Tour card. He had to Monday qualify again. And what happened was is he qualified for the Korn Ferry Tour Finals, basically did nothing, so his whole season now restarts. He's got a Monday qualify to get into events. He does have his sponsor's exemptions again that he can use. But it's basically, he's going to have to tie 125 of last year, Eric, which is going to be incredibly hard for him to get a special temporary membership. So just a guy that's going to probably have to win to get status. And then the last one I want to talk to you about is Trey Mullinex. You've probably heard the story. And if you haven't, I'm going to remind you of it. This guy was a pretty solid PGA Tour player a couple of years ago. But he was playing in an event and was in a pro-am, and his amateur partner shanked it into his head and ended up having to withdraw due to a concussion and legitimately ended up losing status because of it. Came back, wasn't very good, had to go to the Korn Ferry Tour, and luckily just won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. So he ends up getting a spot there. Just a crazy story. We'll have more of these types of stories, not probably as crazy as that, but golfers that are in this field you might not have heard of, and they're playing Silverado Golf Course and Resort and Spa. Johnny Miller redesign. Eric, why don't you tell us a little bit about it if you know anything?
Yeah, so I know a little bit about this place. I mean, it has been around here for a couple of years now. I believe since 2014, they've been playing this track. Looking at the course itself, I mean, it's going to be very easy to be able to drive the ball around this place. It doesn't look like it's very penal rough-wise. The driving stats are pretty negligible. I mean, you have guys like Stewart Cink going out there and winning this golf tournament, so that's fun. Looking at some of the par fours here, I mean, it's very gettable. You're going to have a lot of scoring clubs in your hand, probably, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 wedges every single day. You've got some gettable par fives. I think that there's some interesting stuff as far as showdown goes, where you get number 9. It's a pretty gettable. It's the 15th easiest hole on the golf course, but then 16, 17, 18, as you're making that turn into number 1, specifically if you're starting on the back 9 for showdown, it looks like you're going to have those 2 par fives in the last 3 holes. Very, very gettable here at Silverado. And you know, it's going to be a lot of birdies. That's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And last year it even played easier than the year before. So I'm not really sure why. I think there was a little change to the course, and I don't think it's going to play any easier. So all par fives are all reachable. Eric already mentioned that it has been the host since 2014. So let's move on, talk about some of the players that are going to be here. But before we do, it is the fall swing. And we already mentioned there are 39 new golfers in this week's field. What I've done is I've put together a Korn Ferry Tour statistical model, taking the stats from all of the golfers from that tour and putting them all into one place for you. Go ahead and check that out. And of course, that's just part of the premium content we have here. Of course, Alex's projections and ownership projections have been on fire lately for all sports. In fact, me, the PGA guy, Eric, used the NFL projections and maybe a sprinkle of Deebo Samuel into a profitable weekend Not going to lie to you. So for a PGA guy, I was thrilled to earn a profit. I feel like it's been a little bit of a while in NFL to do that. So that felt great. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, join the Osmo Plus side. Get 25% off your first week of Osmo Plus Platinum using PGA Strategy Show as your checkout promo code there. So come on and join us. Eric, you just mentioned you're going to be doing 4 shows, all different sports in a month. And any better reason to join the Osmo Plus side than that right there?
I was going to say, I mean, I'm putting out content everywhere, and, you know, we'll have NBA starting up next month. I know that's something I'll be doing with Ryan going forward, and obviously I'll be doing shows there. But PGA, it's good to have it back. I mean, I'm a golfer. That's my first love. That is my sport. But NBA DFS is my baby. And then MLB DFS is kind of what got me into the DFS sphere. And NFL is the thing that you just got to be good at. And NFL, because that's where there's some serious money to be had. I'm glad you had a good week one. I had a good week one. I did not have a good showdown Sunday and Monday night, so looking for some redemption here on Thursday night. But I mean, I just love doing these shows, and I hope everybody's enjoying a lot of the content we have in front of the paywall. But as good as that might be, I guarantee you what's behind it is really going to make you a profitable player.
Yeah. Hey, listen, all I did was put in allocations, and I did not change any projections for this past weekend. That's just how I've learned to do it. It's better to do that way. All right, now let's talk about the 4-to-net championship. As we say that, I had to look it up phonetically, so I'm going to say it in 3 syllables all day here. 156 players, already mentioned the 39 new faces. Now, Eric, I want to tell you about last year. Last year, 20 of the golfers that scored 90 or more points were priced under $7,000. Crazy, awful. And 9 of the top 20 priced golfers ended up missing the cut. So do you think that was a product of bad pricing, or do you think it's a product of this event?
Well, I think it's a product of anytime you get an easier golf course, I think it brings a lot more of the field into play. And I've said that all the time, because it becomes, you got to make putts or you're probably not going to contend. And, you know, for me, I always cheer for golf courses. Like I know out here in Southern California, playing a guy like Shahith Theegala, I know he would prefer to play 7,500 yard golf courses with slick greens, not saying that he's not going to go out and shoot 63, 64 on easier golf courses, but he's just at such an advantage because he's a premium player who puts the ball in play, can kind of be methodical, get it around, as opposed to when you have these easier golf courses, everybody kind of has scoring clubs in their hands. Everybody has the ability to go low, especially at this level. I mean, it's just, not there's not the resistance of a 250 yard par three that's going to be creating some kind of issues. There's not the Honda Classic water. There's not the crazy amount of length you might have at a US Open. I mean, for me, the easier the golf course is, the more anybody can kind of contend at it. It just comes down to scoring clubs. And we're going to see that again this week.
Tons of wedges. I mean, wedge and putting, approach and putting. It's what it's always been on this golf course. I think one of the reasons for that is the fairways are harder to hit. So everyone's hitting out of the rough. Now the rough is very far from penal on this golf course. I mean, I don't even know if you consider it rough. In fact, most of the, you know, municipal courses, the rough here is probably like the fairway there. So when we say that, it's really not that much. But at the same token, if you take away one of the aspects that brings up scores, which is longer rough and making fairways to hit a premium, it brings even more people into the field. I mean, 55% is the driving accuracy here. It just goes to show you that it brings so many other people in the field, which begs the question as we move into our next topic, is John Rahm at 12,100 this week on DraftKings worth the price? That's the first question I'll ask you.
Have you seen his top five and top 10 odds on any of the sports books?
Yeah, top five is minus 125.
It's minus 165 now, everywhere that I've looked at. His top 10 odds. Do you know what his top 10 odds are?
I don't even want to look.
Minus 330 is the average between the five books that I looked at. Minus 330 for him to top 10. That's absurd. That's like Jordan Spieth at a weak Colonial Field event, if I had to guess, something like that. Just throwing it out there for you. But
you brought it up before me. That's impressive. I mean, John,
I was trying to get a comp that you could be familiar with and understand, you know, trying to speak your language a little bit. But John Rahm, the best in form you could possibly imagine. His last five, win, seven, tied third, tied ninth. And then we'll throw the second in as well. That's all since the US Open where he won. It's just absurd, the kind of form that he's in. I mean, Patrick Cantlay may have won Player of the Year. I think that we could probably argue that John Rahm, had he not got COVID, not had the issue with the Memorial, that he might be the guy who's holding that trophy.
John Rahm has been the best player for a long time now. There's no doubt.
I think that that's not even an argument that I would take John Rahm over Patrick Cantlay in any head-to-head format on an even golf course. And I'd be just fine with that. I mean, Patrick Cantlay, props to him. Guy's overcome a lot. I cheer for him all the time. His brothers, you know, I played against his brother quite a bit out here in Southern California, and they're a pretty darn good family. So I'm not cheering against him, but John Rahm is the best player on earth. And so considering he's under 50%, the way that I'm looking at this is his top five odds are basically saying that you're minus 160, 165 everywhere that you're looking, minus 330 for top 10. I'm going to have a ton of John Rahm. I find it impossible not to in this field. If you want to be hitting the fade button, best of luck to you, sir. But I think easy golf courses, hard golf courses, doesn't matter. He's the best player on earth, and I'm going to have a lot of him.
I don't know that he'll make a bogey all week. I think we can start with that. I mean, honest to God.
That would be an interesting bet if you could do that.
I think he'll go 72 holes. I don't see a flaw in his game right now. And that's why I put him in a category all by himself, because he deserves it. And then when you look at everybody else, as we move down just a little bit into our next topic here, Hideki Matsuyama at 11,000 seems incredibly overpriced, especially for a guy who is awful at putting right now. I mean, his putter, I think I probably could out-putt him in a lot of circumstances right now because it's that bad. And 11,000, I'm just not paying it. 13% owned. I'm going to guess you're going to join me on that if you do have a lot of John Rahm.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, putting 121st amongst this entire field in putting. Again, there's 146 people playing. Dead last is Kevin Stadler. Shout out to the Osmo YouTube chat for that.
There
one.
We but, go. There it is.
Just wanted to throw that into the mix. I thought that was good times. He's playing this week. Best of luck to him. He's going to shoot 75-75. But definitely want a Hideki Matsuyama it up on golf courses that are more difficult. This, and he's somebody who can go low on more difficult golf courses because, you know, if the putter goes, everything else in his golf game kind of fits. But his short game has been bad too, 92nd amongst this field. You know, that's towards the back half. And I just think for 11K, I would rather just take all of that exposure, move it to John Rahm. I can't see myself getting even close to the field on Hideki at 10, 13%, whatever that number ends up being. It's just going to be too much.
Totally agree with you on that front. Now, speaking of John Rahm, I just saw, I just went to the chat. I'm sorry. Yes, he certainly is in the Ryder Cup next week. And that would beg to question a couple of people. Why is he here? Well, first and foremost, I think I saw on Twitter a really funny one that he gets paid to play in professional golf events. Let's start with that. That's why he's here, number one. But number two, let's just say that, hey, listen, why is he here? It's the Safeway Open. There's nobody else in the top 12 in the world here. Well, the PGA Tour instituted a couple of years ago that you have to play an event that you haven't played in your previous four seasons as part of their growing the game thing.
The Tiger Woods rule.
Yeah, the Tiger Woods rule, exactly, where he played in 20 events, the same 20 events every year, and basically won all of them. For Rahm, he came in 15th here in 2016, and we know that his wife loves wine, and this is in Napa Valley, so why not just get that requirement out of the way right away? The course fit, and no course doesn't fit John Rahm, so let's just get that out of the way. Next two guys down the list are Simpson and Zalatoris. They're the exact same person, maybe not the same player, because Zalatoris is 10 years younger than Webb and can drive the ball further, but a lot of their other parts of their game do match up. Maybe Webb's a little bit better putter at this point in his career. Who do you favor this week? Are you just going to go with the lower ownership, or do you actually fancy one over the other?
Well, the boss man is always on Webb Simpson, like legitimately always. And so for me to talk against the sacred Webb Simpson, I'm not going to do it. I don't think for me, it just really comes down to the fact that off the tee is probably the least important characteristic that I have for this golf tournament. So that probably bodes well for Webb Simpson. We know he has a world-class short game. The putter has been kind of streaky here and there, but on the whole, I do think that he's one of the best putters on tour. On the front end of this season, the guy was unstoppable. I mean, I believe it was like 9 or 10 consecutive tournaments where he was gaining strokes putting. And for a guy with an arm lock, looks like it goes differently, but man, is it effective. He has found a method that works for him, and he can get it rolling at any given time. For me, he might be the one guy in this range that I want to be a little bit over on. Will Zalatoris has been fighting a putter. Anybody who watches videos of him and is an actual golfer, don't go watch any of his putting videos in the last 2 months, because it gives me the chills. It makes me a little uncomfortable. Coming off of him being rookie of the year, I mean, he's an immaculate ball striker, I believe second overall in the entire field in total ball striking. But everything else is kind of going against him here. I don't love the putting. I don't love the short game here. And on a scoring fest, on a wedge fest, maybe he can just, you know, hit 16 greens and go nuts that way. But I'd rather take shots on other guys. So I'm going to go to a lot of Webb just because of the immaculate short game, go to some Kevin Na 10K, and then kind of move out of this range.
So one more note on Zalatoris: he's the only golfer in the field that hasn't played in the last month. Couldn't qualify for the PGA Tour playoffs, which is the stupidest thing.
We had the back thing too, which, you know, he hit the shot at the Open Championship that kind of screwed him up, right?
Yeah, he came back from that top 10 at WGC and then played the Wyndham top 30. Not bad. But yeah, one of the only golfers in the field not to have competed in the last month due to that silly rule that they have. So interesting. I don't mind either this week. Problem I'm seeing, Eric, is when you put in John Rahm first, right? Got to put in John Rahm. If you're playing one lineup or 150, he's got to be in there. So if you put in Webb Simpson, if you put in Will Zalatoris with them, we're talking about 6,700 per player. Do you really like, I mean, listen, I love Justin Suh. I can get behind some Brandon Wu, but is that really going to be enough to win a GPP this week?
It depends. I mean, you brought up some names on the front end. What was the stat you had for everybody underneath 7K golf tournament?
20 of the 28 golfers last year to score over 90 points were priced under 7K.
Okay. So, I mean, we've got guys, we'll talk a little bit about Hubbard down there underneath 7K. He's somebody that circled for me. It is very bleak under 7K, but it's going to have some scoring available to it. Scott Stallings spikes on random weeks, Ryan Armour even. Michael Thompson's gaining like some steam for a guy who's under 7K. Chad Ramey is at 7K. I think there's ways you can round out the lineup. I don't want to go completely nuts with Rahm Simpson moving on, but I think it is viable enough on this in this spot. And for me, it just comes down to like, if you're playing John Rahm this week, what is the worst? Like if you're playing one lineup, we're talking like one lineup or three max. Yep. If you were to get eighth, would you take it right now or would you just fade him?
Given the stats and the variability, I think in this event, I would take eighth. I would sign up for eighth.
Yeah, right, I think now. I would too.
Play him at 12-1 and try and find those other five guys that, you know, can win me the GPP. I think this week.
I mean, his likelihood of finishing top 10 is like, it's like 3-1 against it is the way that I think about it. So for me, it's finding a way to make Rahm work. If Rahm was 13, like literally Rahm should be James Harden with 13-5. The Rockets.
He should be
13-5 is what he should be. And he's not.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Chad Ramey, you just brought him up. 40 of 43 cuts made over the last year and a half, dude. That is, you got to admit, that's pretty insane.
It's insane.
Do we play him this week? I know we're jumping
a little bit. But. I'm absolutely playing him. Not to jump around for you, but for me, looking at him in the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, I mean, he had a bad Saturday. I love the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. It's probably the thing that I ended up doing really well betting-wise in some of those spots. And plus, it gets you familiar with a lot of these cats coming out of the gate.
Definitely.
I think it gives you a big edge in this fall season. And I've done traditionally better in the fall season than I do starting in January with the Sony Open, starting from that point on. I generally do a little bit better in these fall swing events. And so I really think Chad Ramey is a guy that you've got to be invested in at 7K. I mean, the guy is coming off of five consecutive top 20s. Other than the Utah Championship, which, by the way, the Utah Championship is a joke. It's like one of the most ridiculous golf tournaments where everybody is bombing it out there 350 and there's like the winners 25 under every single year. They had like a club pro or something that ended up getting like second or something this year. I can't remember the exact story about it, but like just writing that off, the guys had an unbelievable season. And at 7K, underneath 10%, anything under 10%, I'm going to be over for Chad Ramey.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. Couple more guys. You mentioned Kevin Na up top. I think this could be one of two things that we got going on here. We just saw Billy Horschel admit to feeling slighted of not even getting a phone call from Steve Stricker, even though he won the match play and all that, and winning the BMW PGA against a solid field. Good players, Shane Lowry, a couple of other Ryder Cuppers, Ian Poulter, Tommy Fleetwood. So does not take that and go out and say, blitz the field here, except for John Rahm, or is this just not a great spot for Kevin Na, given that he's missed the cut here a couple times. Does have a top 10, though, if I go back in my stats, I believe.
I bet Kevin Na top five, top 10 at the Tour Championship, and he made my week. I didn't do very well DFS, but betting-wise, I've been really on top of these guys. He was my hot take that I had with Ben on our show, where I was like, you just need to go after Kevin Na. His form is going really underrepresented. It might go represented correctly this week because it's a smaller field and people might be able to see exactly what he's doing. I mean, 20% is a hefty number for our first run of ownership on him, but it's appropriate considering you look at just box score watching, third at the Tour Championship, you know, tied 17th BMW in a scoring fest, Northern Trust T8, Wyndham Championship T2, John Deere Classic, another scoring fest T2. You know, he's making shots off the green with putters bent over, like, you know, using the toe end of the putter. If you saw that shot, I mean, the guy has the most immaculate short game
cool
you
can
imagine. It was incredible. And let me just sort by around the green stats. Yeah, number one. It was
number
a question. It's not even a question. I mean, the guy is the most immaculate around the green player on tour and on this kind of a golf course. I mean, we saw him win earlier this year at the Sony Open. Ironically enough, probably the one tournament I wasn't playing him this entire season. Sad times, but I will not be playing Kevin Na, not only because he is my fiance's favorite golfer by a mile, because she thinks he has the cutest family of all time.
He does have a pretty cute family. I'm not gonna
lie. It's true.
It is pretty true. Couple more guys up here. Cameron Tringale. I just don't want to play him above 9.
Everybody wants to play Cameron Tringale. I can't deal with this dude. And part of why I can't deal with Cameron Tringale on a week-in, week-out basis is that there's no rhyme or reason for the weeks that he's chalk. Like, if there was like something that I could really derive from his golf game, I mean, 15% ownership seems to be about what he is every single week. At least he's priced up in this kind of way where I think it can kind of inflict some pain on some people as opposed to when he's down under 8K. But I just don't think he's that good of a player. There's so many other guys in this range. I would legitimately think that I would take everybody else in the 9K range before I took him.
Agreed. One of them being...
Look at us. We're in lockstep today. This is weird.
It's what happens when Spieth isn't in the field when it's
true?
Not a good course for him. You know, I level down. I can focus on other golfers. I don't just focus on one. So Mark Leishman, overpriced, but the one time he came here, we know he struggles off the tee. We know mm-hmm. that's his number one place to struggle. So one would think that this course is good for him, and he showed us that in 2019. However, a little different coming off the President's Cup, coming off a high. They had a good week. I know they lost, but it was a really fun one. I think he probably took a little bit of high, came in third. So are we going to get a repeat performance? Or actually, maybe, am I wrong? Does the President's Cup after? See, the President's Cup is
It's usually high. After. Yeah, I'm it's sorry. Normally like a November like, thing, yeah. from what I remember. Yeah, we have Ryder Cup's always like September, October-ish. Yeah. But then it's usually like November-ish. It's so like
scratch
the
that
last...
narrative then. Scratch that narrative.
That's all right. You just wanted to lie.
I just wanted to figure out, is he a good play or not? And you're going to tell me right now.
No, he's a fine play. And again, the main issue he has off the tee, 107th in this field amongst all qualifying players. That is really, really bad. Around the green, it hasn't been fantastic, but you get in the scoring fest. He's a top five putter in this field. And I don't think anybody's going to deny that. That is his bread and butter. And if he gets it going, he can get those irons close. He can get hot with that strokes gain approach at any given time. Going through some of his numbers here over the course of the season, anytime that he's been positive strokes gain approach, he's basically put up a number. I mean, basically 0.2 strokes gain approach, third at the Travelers, because that putter can get hot. Byron Nelson, 21st, well, wasn't that great. We saw him play very well at the Masters, fifth there. I mean, the guy just can get it rolling. Sony, fourth there as well. 6.1 strokes gain approach. It's really going to come down to just iron play for about everybody in this field, but at least he has backdoor ways of not burning you if he's just doing his regular thing with the putter. So I think that there's massive upside and a pretty high floor on an event where there's not really any penalties off the tee.
Great. And if you do pair him up with Rahm, 7,100 is your average. You'll be able to get in the Chad Ramey, that area. And we'll talk about a couple of more guys down there in just a little bit. Cam Champ, Chad just brought him up. They must have my cheat sheet that I give to you and Jordan. You guys must publish it. I understand. But Champ is my next price. I have him as overpriced, but under-owned due to the win equity that he possesses. Obviously, a win here, a win recently. He just, when he gets that driver game going and he puts the ball 370 out there in the middle of the fairway, he can be tough to beat if his short game is somewhat comparable. Last year, ranked outside of the top 180 in both putting and around the green, shows the why. But the one week where he's positive in both, it shows what he can do. So are you just betting someone like him and looking at the top five, or do you want to play him at 9K, 8% owned?
I mean, he's kind of like Bryson Light. A little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
is that kind of what we're looking at with him? And yep. I would say Bryson is, I don't know, a 50,000 times better putter on the whole, other than the 3M where he just spiked it out of the middle of nowhere. And again, I was glad you bet him at 125-1. I wish I had bet him at 125-1. I would have had a better week for sure, or a better season for sure. I mean, it was a great betting season. It was a very poor DFS season. And I think part of what I need to figure out going forward.
It's so true though. If you guys look at my results, you'll see the exact same thing you just said.
Yeah. And I think that this is really just because of how sharp the field has gotten in some regards. I think the one important thing I need to figure out going forward is that money is money. And so I don't care if I make money in the betting market or if I make it in DFS. Yep. But it's being able to leverage your opinions based on what their actual odds of being there. That's why I love, for Osmo, the Osmo tools. I love the unofficial world golf rankings where we kind of take a lot of the noise out and we just kind of rank the golfers based on who sets up statistically and metrically the best week in, week out, and finding ways to be invested in them in the market and then also being off of them. But there's such a ceiling capability on a Cameron Champ that maybe that is the right approach, but I mean, you got to think that if he has the win equity that he has in the 3M, that he would also have top five equity that would be unregistered. And he hasn't had a top five since 2020. So like, other than if you remove the win, of course, is what I'm saying, is that it's not even a top 10 the entire season. So like from a DFS angle, he was pretty popular at the St. Jude and the Northern Trust, just from a price perspective coming off of that win. And I had none of him and I was fine with it because I just felt like the putter, I wanted to see it more often. And, you know, a short-term sample, anybody can spike putter for a week, you know, even guys with massive issues there. I just don't trust it going forward. And it'll be always an ownership thing for me with Cameron Champ. I would want to be there in a DFS perspective, but even 9%, 10%, I feel like just removing that from your pool and using it elsewhere is probably the right way to do it. And then investing even at a top five, I think you can get enough value betting that, where I'm comfortable with those kind of builds, just not having him, moving it elsewhere. And if he top fives, I could still probably have a decent week.
Yeah. It looks like we got a super chat. I want to bring it up. It looks like something to do with an NFT, not a KFT. Remember, Korn Ferry Tour is the graduating guys. NFTs are those things that are going for crazy amounts of money and making people super rich.
Yeah.
Maybe
I forgot to get in the Tony Hawk drop.
See, the Tiger one's coming next month. And I might have over 9 million browsers going that week. So anyways,
you have 4 new wives. There you are.
All of a sudden, I've got 4 new wives, 8 first cousins that DraftKings never knew about.
Yeah.
I might know about a couple of them before, but in any case, neither here nor there. TS Tokyo asked us in the chat, any of the new Korn Ferry Tour guys plays? We mentioned one already, Chad Ramey. We'll go over a couple of more, but it seems like we definitely are both in Chad Ramey, a guy that I had earmarked as one of the best ball strikers on that tour. And we'll go into some value plays now. We'll talk about Taylor Moore, not Ryan, but Taylor Moore. Do you know anything about this guy other than that I just told you statistically he was one of the best ball strikers on the KFT?
No, I just started trying to understand what was going on with the super chat here. And I guess we have 62 people watching, so I felt okay kind of like trying to figure out. Apparently, it's the first letter of each thing. Can you just text me what that is, Jordan Klein? I don't want to try to figure it out by myself here. It's going to make my head hurt. Who are we talking about? I'll be able to talk about them. Kevin Stadler.
God, he's beautiful. Stadler. Got it. Okay.
Got him. One of those from EMAC. I feel like EMAC might have been that. Charlie Reinhardt Jones, you're good people. Thank you so much for the super chats. Who are we talking about here, Jason? I'll get back to being professional.
Taylor Moore.
Yeah, I talked about him a little bit on the front end of the show. I mean, he's a guy that, 16 for 18 and cuts on the Korn Ferry Tour. Second, two top thirds. 12 top tens over the course of those 18 events, a ball striking extraordinaire. That's kind of what he's known for. A guy who just peppers greens, all around pretty good golf game. I like Taylor Moore. And I think, these are the opportunities to get in and play these guys. It's kind of like rookies in the NFL where nobody knows what a Jalen Waddle is going to look like in the NFL yet. And you want to just be invested early and kind of beat people to the punch before the price can react. Justin Jefferson last year in the NFL and, just trying to bring DFS comps. It's all pretty relevant in that kind of regard. I'm happy to be invested in him. The ownership isn't up there in some crazy kind of meaningful way, but he has a ton of game. He's been playing really well recently as well. Back-to-back tenths, missed the cut at the Pinnacle Bank, who cares? First and second price cutter there. When you locked up your tour card, you can kind of see some regression for some of those guys because they're just gearing up for the tour season then, as they should be. And I think he's going to be ready to go right away.
Yeah, me too. One of the guys that I definitely had earmarked to talk about. So you might notice by now, I'm assuming 35 minutes in, that I don't have Ben Raza sitting with me here chatting. It is actually, in fact, Eric, believe it or not. I know some people have questioned that a little bit. But the reason why is Ben, he's been focusing on our new Betting You. And that is our betting podcast where Ben and Matt have you covered with everything college football. They're going to take you through every single conference and give you their best bets on the board. And Betting You, of course, is available wherever you get your podcast. Doesn't matter if Apple, Spotify, whatever it is. And new episodes, they drop every single Wednesday. And these guys, I'm telling you, two of the sharpest minds in college football. Mm-hmm. I saw so many, and they don't even do betting stuff, but they go over some plays. But I saw some massive screenshots from the college football DFS last week.
Ridiculous.
So check out the Betting You read. The Betting You podcast. Really fun. Again, some DFS plays, a lot of betting stuff. Okay, let's go on and talk about a couple more values here in the section. We mentioned Taylor Moore, but how about up top? Taylor Gooch seems like he had a great season for him last year. Easily got through, had that big start at the Players Championship. And Doug Gim, I mentioned up at the top, both at 8,7900. Both guys had good years last year. So who has a better start to their year this week?
I mean, I don't love either of them, but okay. I mean, Doug Gim is kind of a dude that if we're going to just be targeting again. His putter is just so horrendous, and the short game is horrendous. He's so good at ball striking. The amateur pedigree is ridiculous. He had a decent enough year. I'm calling it a great year. I mean, he had a fifth at the Amex, and I think that basically paid for his entire year.
Well, remember, forward. He also, through the Florida stretch, I don't know if you remember the API and the Players. He was in one of those
finals. Oh, yeah, he shot like a zillion in the final round of the Players. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so at least he got in the mix, so there's definitely that. I think that's probably the right thing. Yeah. I would rather go to Gooch, I think, between the two of them. Gooch, I just think, probably has more of the form. If we're going to just try to go low here and target some upside here, I mean, he played really bad at the BMW Northern Trust. Wasn't very good there, but I just think he's been far more consistent, and the upside is kind of matched there. I mean, you said the fifth of the Players, which definitely sticks out for me as well. Yep. Kind of slowed down there towards the back end of the season, but I definitely still think that there's going to be some upside for him in some of these spots going forward. I mean, 15th, 20th, I think that that's more likely out of him, but between the two of them, I'm happier to go to Gooch. Doug Gim, I just want to see it more. It's there. We know the kind of talent that he has, but until that putter and short game flip, I don't feel like being invested on him on an easy golf course.
Five guys up at the top of this range that I think actually all make decent compliments to John Rahm. That's why I've grouped them together. It's guys that I like. It's Grillo, Hoffman, Homa, McNealy, and Reavie. Now, maybe a little bit lesser on Homa. I like to play him when he's under-owned and in the low sevens, not up here where you really got to get a good round out of him or a good couple of rounds. He quit his podcast and is really focusing on golf again. Sometimes that does spell good things for Homa. Sometimes it takes a couple of weeks to get to those good things. But of those five, Grillo, Hoffman, Homa, McNealy, Reavie, any you want to pair up with Rahm, or do you still think it's too expensive to pair up with Rahm?
No, I'm going to have a crazy amount of Maverick McNealy this week. I don't think there's any way around it.
Yep.
I just love his form. I love his golf game. Everything that you could say about Doug Gim as far as his amateur pedigree, I would say that you've got an equal comp there in Maverick McNealy, scoring record leader at Stanford. There's a guy named Tiger Woods who played there. I bring that up a lot with Maverick. The putter's been back and forth here, but that's traditionally what he's known for doing, is putting the golf ball. He just played abysmal at the BMW, and I'm willing to write that off. If you didn't go crazy low at the BMW, you were kind of getting lapped by the field, and it snowballed. And so I don't really want to deal with a lot of strokes gained data from that golf tournament specifically. But other than that, top 30 at Northern Trust, top 20 at 3M, top 20 at John Deere, 21st at the Rocket Mortgage. That's a pretty good streak of golf tournaments here for a guy that we saw get fourth at the RBC, second at the AT&T Pro-Am, plays well in this neck of the woods. Northern California seems like a spot where he plays pretty darn well. There's obviously a comfort he has there for having gone to school up there or something. I'm not sure what to point at there. All I know is I can point to his golf game, and it's very good. I'm going to be invested in him big time.
How about Brendan Todd or Brant Snedeker? Two Bs, two guys that rely on their putter, two guys that maybe you'll have some interest in if ownership is low.
Yeah, in large field stuff, for sure. I don't think they're going to be any core piece of anything that I do in this range. I mean, I'm trying to figure out exactly, because for me, it's going to come down to going Rahm. It's going to play Maverick. And then we didn't even talk about Grillo on that upper end. And I'm just a sicko who's going to try to make Grillo a thing.
Hey, I like Grillo and Hoffman. I like both those guys. That's kind of the – if I don't play Rahm, I would rather start with Grillo, Hoffman, and McNealy. I'd rather just go those three in the eights and see how high I can go.
And I'm sure I'm going to have builds like that, I think. I mean, I'm going to be, right now, if we're talking about 50% Rahm, I think being at the field maybe a little bit over for me might be kind of what we're looking at, 45%. I know Rahm is going to be even higher owned as we go up in stakes. If you're getting up to that $200 single entry, it's going to feel a little bit like a free square. And if you want to do something different that can pay off big time, it's trying to get those three in, being able to just hammer that 8K range where I think that there's a lot of win equity and a lot of top five equity. And just kind of like matching them around with Mito Pereira and getting exposure to players that on the back end can maybe outperform, like the combination of those three can outperform the combination of a Rahm and 2 7K guys, and then having to punt the rest of your lineup. So you're basically not saying, hey, I don't think Rahm's going to fail, but I'm thinking the guys that he might be paired with fail. And so, yeah, that upper 8K range, I absolutely love that you're there too. That's kind of what I'm planning to do with the majority of my lineups in just about every format this week.
That I want to talk about from the KFT tour. You mentioned the point list leader guy that all in all speaked his way around the Korn Ferry tour last year. If you look at his ball striking stats, they're terrible, but at this golf course where driving accuracy doesn't matter is Steven Yeager. Yeager bombs in play this week, and I think he is.
I love that you just basically bashed Jordan Spieth yourself, and I didn't have to do it. Just Jordan Spieth himself.
His OTT game's coming around, but given his historics, how he's gotten it done, Yeager definitely got it done the Spieth way last year.
You know, the worst 3 minutes of my life over the course of 2021 was when the PGA Tour made that video of
Jordan Spieth.
Yes. I honestly just hate watched that like three or four times.
I'm gonna tweet it now just so you said that.
Yeah, no, just honestly, I love you and I hate you so much at the same time. But yeah, Yeager is fine. I mean, that's what we're looking to do. It ball striking is not going to be as much of a premium, specifically off the tee. I'm going to say, like, you know, you're seeing that being minimal as kind of a effect on this golf course. I would much rather go to some guys who can get the ball close and actually make some putts, actually do some things around the green here. I'm happy to go to some Yeager bombs. I also just like Yeager bombs. That's delicious.
Me too, actually. It's one of the shots that I can actually tolerate here. So if we meet in Vegas, that's definitely going to be my trip. Actually, I don't know. You know, I could say this. The redheaded slut is actually the way that I like to go.
Can you say that? Yeah, no, redheaded slut. Yeah, that's
yeah. Great. I mean, it's a drink name, delicious. Right? It's a shot name. So it is. So that's the way I like.
It's to the go. Style. It's the style it in is. That movie.
Another guy that I like this week, by the way, speaking of which, I wanted to mention the off the tee thing.
Okay.
Top 15 last year, every golfer that came in the top 15 gained at least a half a stroke off the tee. Now, none of them gained more than 3/4 of a stroke. So kind of in that range, just need to put it in play, basically, is how you gain strokes off the tee. But guy that I like to do that, Lucas Herbert, one of those guys that got through the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. Played decent last year, 7,800 this week. I think this is a great spot for him. Used maybe off of the pivots from Pat Perez and Doug Gim, who are both going to get double-digit ownership.
My spreadsheet hates him, so I he's just bright red. That's usually a bad sign. Putting is the only thing that isn't bright red, so tell me if that's probably what we're looking at. I don't know a ton about him, other than he popped, I think, at the Memorial or something. He played well. Let me find it. It's just taking forever. Yeah, 18th at the Memorial, 19th at the Traveler. So he had two good weeks there back-to-back. Missed the cut at the Open and the 3M. Boise Open, top five. Good times. Enjoyable. But not something that I'm going to be getting to in a meaningful way. Might have some shares of him just because you said his name and I would have some FOMO now. But not anything you should be looking at as like a core piece.
Now, course history. Where do you lean with it, and does Harry Higgs and Ryan Moore pique your interest if you do like course history?
Ryan Moore is like the course history, like every time we bring him up, I just think John Deere, right?
Yeah,
I just
John think Deere. John Deere.
Yeah, it's just John Deere every single time. But I don't mind. I don't go nuts with it, especially because, I mean, what, 7-year sample size? A lot of these guys have missed this golf tournament for however many years. It's pretty limited. And you know, it's a pretty straightforward golf course. I don't think there's anything tricky about it, where I think if you have pretty decent form, you're going to play well here. And I don't go crazy with course history in general. I'm not a crazy course history guy. What I am is a grass type guy. But I don't think that's really too relevant going up here as well.
You and me both, Eric, you and me both.
I know, but because you're sharp. And I mean, that's that. We literally have one disagreement about one guy and we're just never going to see eye to eye on the one guy. And everything else, I think we're pretty much in lockstep. So, and that's also, I think, speaking to the fact that you're a good player, I'm a good player. And then we can kind of use that to be able to build lineups and think about it from a little bit more of an artistic perspective when we're building lineups, and combining that with what Ben Rossa talks all the time about, combining your groups of players to see what that golf course ends up playing like. If there's anything that I've taken from doing shows with him, it's that. And so I'm going to be probably pairing guys like Ryan Moore with more iron play guys that, you know, aren't necessarily going to have to get there in any kind of a meaningful way off the tee. But I really like Ryan Moore in any kind of these shootouts. It seems like he just plays well in these. The UNLV guy, by the way, also just great. Just
don't need to get off the tee. Just keep it in play somewhere. Use your iron strength and try and make a couple of putts. I mean, that's definitely Ryan Moore's game. Now, Patton Kizzire is going to be the highest owned golfer under 8,000 this week based on our projections, which is kind of, you know, I guess I understand he scored well. I'll always have the image of him breaking his driver over his shoulders and then subsequently the next week broke his putter over his knee. Now, Jordan Spieth, the first time him and I disagreed on something in the 6 years I've been doing this was the fact that Pat Kizire definitely attempted to break his driver. Jordan Spieth said he didn't, and he was able to replace it, crazy enough, in that tournament. He definitely meant to do it. Zach Johnson was actually on my side, so boost Zach Johnson up a little bit, speaking of Ryan Moore and the John Deere Classic. Guy I want to bring up right now, however, is a pivot off of Kizire. Two pivots, actually. We talked about Fagala. It sounds like we're both in. This guy has he has absolutely got some game. The only place he struggled with was driving accuracy last year. Won't be a problem. That's why he played well here last year. And the guy that's won this tournament twice, Brendan Steele, 7,400. I know he's not playing great
back
right
to
now.
Back, in fact.
Yeah, 16 and 17, right? So I love Steele. And Thagala off of pivots, off of Kizire. How about you?
Yeah, I think they're fine. And it's not even that he just won back-to-back. I just think he's a pretty good player, too, and he's underpriced comparatively. We see so many guys that are just way overpriced for the kind of player that they are. I mean, Cameron Champ 9K is kind of nuts, other than the fact that he had one win.
Here and a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you've got Aaron Rye, who's down there at 7,400 as well. Yeah. I mean, there's some guys that are just lower priced than they should be comparatively to the rest of the field down here. And I would put him into that bucket. Obviously played well here in the past. That's where I would say I draw the line on course history is I probably don't obsess so much about the top 10s, top 20s. If you come out in your win back to back here, Paul Casey down in Tampa, like stuff like that, that kind of sticks out to me in my brain where I'm like, oh, he obviously feels much more comfortable hitting a golf ball here than other places. So yeah, I'm happy to go there. Shown some upside here before. So I'm more willing to look at like, oh, they went out and won and dominated a field or at least like put the foot down as opposed to just like, oh, they played well here one time.
Just checking out chat. I'm a Tulsa dog. Basically reading us my obituary now that I've brought up the redheaded slut shots. It's trending down the wrong direction for me right now. She just brought my water to me. It's not looking good, but could be looking good for a guy named Hudson Swafford.
What a segue.
We just good talked Lord. About Patton Kizire. I have to talk about Hudson Swafford.
I'll just leave. I mean, Jesus. Jason, you're so great. Hudson Swafford is a good play this week. I like Hudson Swafford. I mean, we've seen him play really well. He didn't end up getting into the Tour Championship, but he was one of those guys that he played very poorly that final round, 72. I was kind of cheering for him because he could have like really gone. If he had shot 66, he would have been in the Tour Championship. Obviously, it got going south on him.
And Hudson Swafford and Kizire all made the Tour Championship. I would not have known what to do with myself because I've never seen them all in the same place at once. Ooh,
that's true. The same guy. They always have a morning and an afternoon tea time. It just works out that way. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's how they get it done. It's the longest con ever. 7,200 under 10%. Hudson Swafford, I think, is one of the best plays on the entire slate. If I'm building with Rom, there's no way that I'm not going to have a ton of him on this slate. For sure. Lanto Griffin, another guy there that's at 7,300, and he's had the opposite recent form, but I just think there is enough game there for him. I'm willing to take some shots so long as that ownership stays low on him. But it's going to be, I mean, right now looking at 10%, I'm actually still okay with that. If it starts trailing up to like 15, I might have to be hitting eject on it, but still underneath 10%. I would rather go to him than my boy JT Poston, who I always try to make a thing. And again, Hudson Swafford, probably my favorite play underneath 8K the entire week.
Justin Hadley, probably the best story out of the FedEx Cup playoffs. If you like Erik van Rooyen, sure, that probably was a better story. But the fact that Hadley went on to get a hole-in-one to basically secure his job for the following year is not something that can be written. 7,000, one of those guys that scored over 90 points here last year, and that's just what Hadley does. Doesn't have good stats, but he puts in an eagle, makes three birdies in a row, makes a triple. So if we get all four rounds from him at 7,000, he seems like a almost must play at that price, but the miscut equity's got to be high.
Yeah. It's one of my buddies always said that if they ever played a golf tournament in wind, he would blow away. So we need to just, as long as it's not going to be windy out there, he's going to be just fine. He's an absolute stick figure. Dude needs a cheeseburger. But yeah, I like
his golf Jangles too, or it doesn't work. Well, I mean, he used to, but I would
think really?
Yeah. Well, that's what he was doing on the Korn Ferry Tour when he went down there.
All I remember from the Corn Ferry Tour coming up, and again, this is just like the golf fan of me, is he would always do the snap thing after he'd make putts.
Yeah, he's got
the
snap.
He always does the huge snap thing. He's been doing it forever, and it kind of annoys me, but also he's 1% owned. So, like, we can play a little bit of him this week. I'm fine with it.
What about Matt Kuchar? This guy, what a fall from grace. I don't know that he'll ever get it back until the Champions Tour.
He's old. I mean, it's an old dude. It's an old dude who just, and again, I know the cue all the jokes of Steve Stricker Lock Week, which looked really good through three rounds until it didn't at the John Deere Classic. Man, what a ride that was. But this is Matt Kuchar, probably the easiest guy to cheer against in the entire world at this point. So yep. I'm okay not playing him. He had one good week. He always plays well at the Match Play. That's about all you're going to see out of Matt Kuchar going forward. You know, ever since that issue with the caddy in Mexico, he's just been a little bit snake bitten. And I bet some public perception. Hey, there's something to be said about the way that a golfer views themselves and the public perception of them. We're seeing it with Bryson some given weeks. We're seeing it with these other guys. But Matt Kuchar used to have the most positive public perception around him. And now a lot of people don't necessarily like him. And I think it's affected his golf game in some regard. And
There's no more Kuch. You barely hear that anymore.
You don't, because people don't want to cheer for a guy who snipes his caddy, wins $2 million, who's already made 20-something million, gives him like $2,000 and moves on with his week. Like, that seems like it's one of the weirder stories I can ever remember, because he could have made it right. And then he kind of like doubled down on his stance where he said, oh, well, that was our agreement.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Now, something or somebody that might not be a terrible return for one of our awesome guys, Jeff Ulrich, this week loves Patrick Rogers. He might love Patrick Rogers more than just this week. I think he loves him a lot, but he is playing well, got himself back here through Corn Ferry Tour Finals. Another guy that also got himself through the Corn Ferry Tour Finals is Alex Smalley. Now, they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. Smalley, I mean, this is a fantastic story. Monday qualified himself onto the Corn Ferry Tour Finals, then got through, got his card. These stats are big, though, because he's all the way down that ranking list of the 50 golfers that got through from the Corn Ferry Tour. He's like number 46 right now, I think. So, you know, he's not going to get in a ton of events unless he plays well and goes to the top through a reshuffle. So do we want to continue playing Alex Smalley as the run continues, or will the train stop now that he has his card?
I mean, strokes gained total, I mean, 22nd amongst the entire field. I mean, I haven't looked too far into him.
Not a ton of stats, but he's looked good.
Yeah, so I don't know a ton about him. He wasn't one of the guys that I had circled. It looked like, I mean, his only tour event up until 2020 was a U.S. Open in 2017. So he was obviously mini touring it up. Doesn't look like there's a ton of data that we have on him whatsoever. The Punta Cana back-to-back years, that was a year apart. That's kind of crazy. I guess, the Punta Cana, they played it in the spring in 2020, right?
And then they came right back with it.
Okay, that's what I found curious, because I was like, how is that his back-to-back tournaments? But that makes sense in the spreadsheet here. John Deere didn't play that well. Wyndham, okay. Like, this might be... Yeah, this might be a guy to take some shots on. We got to find some dudes that we want to take shots on underneath, you know, or at 7K, underneath 7K. Patrick Rogers, I think, is going to be garnering quite a bit of that ownership. Hank Labiota is garnering, I think, going to be even more ownership. Hank Labiota might be the easiest fade for me of all time. And now that I said that, cue him up for an automatic top five. But like, Hank Labiota, you want to talk about just somebody who rode in a crazy, crazy hot streak and then crashed into a wall with the Wyndham and Northern Trust. I mean, unsustainable putting. As much as I want to say he's a good putter, he's not Louis Oosthuizen and he's not Jordan Spieth. He's not one of those cats. So like, Hank Labiota, considering he's getting the most ownership, and I think he's going to get the most ownership out of this range. I mean, I'm looking at some different stuff that I have. I mean, 5.6%. I bet he gets up even higher than that. I've seen his name around. I'm going to hit eject on that. I'll take some shots on Smalley with you.
Awesome. Let's talk about a couple of more shots, long shots, if you will, as we go to our second to last category here. Some of the ones we've already mentioned, some people we haven't. Hayden Buckley, chat throughout his name that other people have been mentioning. Yes, he's got great ball striking stats on the Corn Ferry Tour. How do you get through the Corn Ferry Tour Finals? But still playing a pretty good golf. A couple of names that'll be somewhat popular: Bryce Garnett, Kyle Stanley, down here, Brendan Hagee. Already mentioned Trey Mullinix, Kevin Tway. Tway needs some starts, man. He needs to get going if he wants to keep his card. And then we got the Wu squared. We'd already talked about Brendan Wu, but we haven't talked about Dylan Wu. So we got two Wus down at 6,400. Nick Hardy made a splash, if you don't remember. He came up, had a couple of starts, Monday qualified, played okay, got through the Corn Ferry Tour, obviously. Then kind of, like you said, kind of hit a wall and didn't care because he locked up his card. Bo Hostler's also down here. I know you like Bo, and he did start to play well toward the end of the season. I think if you're going to go down here, you probably should click Bo's name at, what, 6,200, I think it is this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tradition unlike any other. Me betting top 20 Bo Hostler events. That's what I do.
To hit eventually.
Dude, no, I've hit a couple this year. I mean, that's what I do every single week is I fire up at least, you know, $20, $50 in the old Bo Hostler deposit fund. And it's actually a really fun sweat because you got that one guy that I believe in him. And it's more eye test because I played a lot with him. Thea Gala as well as another guy. I played a USAM qualifier with him. And it's just like, dude, you're different. You're built different. You do things differently. Yep. And just they get the ball in the hole better than you do. And it's like, well, no wonder you're the number one amateur in the country. It makes a lot of sense. Bo Hostler led a US Open when he was, what, 16 through two rounds? I mean, that was the dumbest thing of all time. A guy that I just kind of flat out believe in. He's won everything here in Southern California you could possibly win. And then just gets on tour. I know how good of a putter he can be. And we're talking about a birdie fest. And so I'm willing to invest in somebody that I think he's ceiling with a flat stick, considering he's 6,300. I mean, that price is just begging me to roster him, and I can't get away from it. I mean, I could also make that same case for one Kurt Kitayama, another guy that I think can get the ball rolling here at times. And so 6,300 for both those cats, I don't like how much I'm going to have of them.
Yeah. What about JV Holmes? Guy doesn't play all that much. Oh, and Chad brought up, they must have missed our little in the beginning, which is fine. You can see it on playback, but Steven Yeager, you and I actually both like him on this golf course. We think it's a good fit. There'll be times where we say, stay the heck away from him. Not this week. We both like him for sure. And then JB Holmes. What about him? He's going to need some good starts to keep his job.
So JB Holmes, for me, following him around at Riviera the year that he won there was one of the more painstaking things I've ever put myself through. It was like a 6-hour round of golf. It was madness. I was like, well, at least I'm here on a pretty golf course out there in Los Angeles. It was a beautiful day. But man, the guy just takes for absolute ever. And I think he's the kind of guy that just will do things like Cameron Champ, where he'll just show up one week and win. Like that's kind of the thing with JB Holmes. If you want to just talk about win equity under 6,500, we know he's won big golf tournaments and he's put it together multiple times in those times. So that Genesis was 2019. He had a second and a third at the St. Jude and Travelers back to back in 2018. I mean, we're talking about a guy who showed up and played some really high quality golf, weaker field, super low price. If you wanted to take 4 or 5% of him in large field stuff, you're going to be over the field. Why not fire up a little bit of it? I don't have a problem with it. You got to just kind of make your case for one of these guys or two of these guys in your pool, kind of mix and matching. I'm making my case more for Bo Hostler, but if you wanted to go Holmes, go right ahead.
A couple more guys. We're coming up on our last little bit here, 4 o'clock. Maybe I'll go over by a couple of minutes as we don't have MLB deeper dive until 4:45, and they're going to lead all the way up to your live before lock.
We got another hour in us.
We could, but Jordan behind the glass is saying, "Heck no!" You know, you and I definitely could because we could talk Ryder Cup a couple of times, but we'll maybe save that for next week. I'm trying to get us into a Thursday show. I would love to do a Ryder Cup show for a little bit. Once we get first round matches, we'll see. We'll see what the bigger ups here at Awesome will tell us on that, but. Before we get on out of here, a couple of more names. Justin Suh at 6,400, Cal guy. Are you going to play him this week, given the fact that he should hit 70% of his greens?
Yeah, I'll have a little bit of Justin Suh. I mean, that's a name that I've seen circulating for years now. And why not be early on some of these guys, take some shots, because we just don't know the kind of upside that could be there for him. He's played really well. Yeah, Cal guy. Obvious familiarity with this area for sure, Napa, just Northern California in general. Fire up some of that for sure. For me, I do want to hear your Brandon Wu stance because, I mean, he's definitely popping the most out of anybody under 6,500. But I get worried. I get worried because I know in especially like single entry stuff and some of like either the 100 or the 200, which, you know, that's going to kind of be my focus, I think, going forward, getting away from just 150 all the time. What do you think his ownership is in something like that? Because I think the name recognition is there. I think everybody with Rom is looking for ways to plug him in. And I think he ends up a little bit higher owned than what we think.
All right. So what's my stance? First, I'll give you that. I'm pretty positive that based on his, he had a really good early season. First of all, he won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship last year, which didn't really matter. But then he carried that in. He had four top 14s in a row, which basically locked up his card. I mean, early on in the season, he basically needed to do nothing. The results have been poor. It's almost like he's been waiting for this. So I think if we're going to get a good start from him, like we know we can, we got a top seven at the Puerto Rico before, or I think it was top 10. Yeah, Puerto Rico. We've seen him do it. I think he can. It should be a good event, given the fact that he went to school around here. He shouldn't be unfamiliar with the territory. 6,400, man, I got to be honest. When I first saw that, I definitely got excited about that. It was going to be hard for me to mess up.
I said that the opposite way of what I meant. What I meant is he's not going to get any ownership in this kind of stuff. And I'm looking for a guy in this range to pair along with like either a Bo Hostler or something else in like a 3-max or something like that too.
Yep.
If you think that there's some viability there, I'm willing to pull the trigger, I think.
I think so too. The only thing is the other Woo, a better play, Dylan. I mean, the 22-year-old, he's younger. There's some stuff going on there. That's why this time of the year is really fun, because you get to play these guys that nobody knows about, that especially the projections likely haven't caught up to, right? Because not many people follow him. So that's why you see, Eric, it's funny you brought up the thing about January. They have about seven events plugged in now, so the projections catch up. Projection catch on, I think so. Great time to take advantage of that. Great. And of course, if you want to know who we are playing, how we rank them, check out our pro plays. They come out every Wednesday morning, part of our Osmo Plus premium package. So till next week, everybody, it is the Ryder Cup. Like I said, hopefully we're going to be here. If not, then you can catch us the following week. Eric, what is it? I think it's the Shriners, if I'm not mistaken.
Shriners, yeah.
Is it the Shriners after?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
We've got some good fall golf. Like we said, Eric and I love this time of the year, so stay tuned with us. And, of course, stay tuned for all the rest of our content. And good luck this week. We'll see you next time.
USA, USA.